Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is a New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. So that's what we've been doing these last 3 weeks, and here this fourth week when we're talking about romance, guys' desire for companionship with the ladies, and ladies, your desire to have a boyfriend or a husband to fulfill your life. We're asking you to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think about this so that you don't just go blindly copying the behavior and the customs of this world. And then you will discover how good, pleasing, and perfect God's will is. If you have something to take notes with, you're going to want to get that ready with a pen. If you've got a little, journal or something you bring with you, or if you take notes on your phone or your iTouch, get ready. I want you to write these down. I'm going to give you my top 10 tips. Top 10 tips. Dating tips for teenagers or tweens, if you're a tween, which I don't even really know what that is. But before I do that, how many people have a phone where you're able to send text messages? Okay, well, wow, everybody. That's crazy, almost. If you don't, okay, sorry, that's mean. Right now I have 165 text messages, unread, from those guys right back there. I'm going to put together a little collage of all the things that they said, and I'm going to put that on the Wake Facebook later so you can see what they were writing me. But imagine this. You have a record of every text message that you've sent and that somebody sent you. I mean, you like it or not, you think you can delete them and it's private. It's on the AT&T or the Verizon or the Sprint server somewhere. And your parents... and really, anybody can probably get to that if they really want to. Specifically, law enforcement, if you were to get in trouble. I mean, people could access everything that you've texted or that's been texted to you. Just FYI, so you guys know that. But imagine that somewhere here in the next 3 or 4 years, you're a guy and you start to like a girl, or you're a girl, you start to like a guy, and you guys are sending little text messages back and forth to one another. How you doing? What's going on? I don't know what you say. But... you're sending these text messages. Maybe it's a group text, but you're really kind of flirting with that one person through there. You guys know what I'm talking about. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, somebody pulls that up and is able to see every conversation that you've had back and forth. What are you going to think about that? Are you going to be embarrassed by that? Or is your heart going to start to beat faster for that person again? I don't know, but here's what's interesting is that in my generation, we are also able to do that even though we didn't have text messages because... we, leaders, agree with me or not, we wrote notes in school. Anybody else? Leaders? Yes? Okay, good. And so did my sister. And I found some of my sister's old notes from when she was in junior high. And so I want you to see, this is from junior high. The notes are going to be up there. You're going to go blind if you try to read them, but I want to show you that they're real. First of all, they know how to fold paper better than you guys will ever know how to fold paper. This is like a little origami thing. It says on the outside, for your eyes only. So that was our way of keeping things private. And look who has it now. Oh, it's good. All right, so this is between my sister and a guy named Sean Pierman. And Sean is spelled S-E-A-N, the cool way to spell Sean. Yeah, we got a cool Sean over here. So here's what the first note says. I'm going to read these quickly. I want you to understand. It says, was up, and it's W-U-Z, up arrow. So anytime... people start to complain that you guys don't know how to read or write because your texts speak. We did the same thing. We just wrote it down, okay? So yell at your parents next time. They go, you need to type right in the phone or else you're not going to know how to spell words. Go, nuh-uh, go read David's sister's notes. She doesn't really know how to spell, though. He says, what's up? Not much here. That's NMH. You guys ever use that? You're not the first, okay? Here's what he says. It's fine that you said no. Wait, what is he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. He asked her out and she said no. Don't feel bad. You don't need to have Jared get your books for you. That's stupid. I'm not mad at you, so you can still talk to me just like you used to. I was going to wait until then to call you, but everybody was bugging ever since choir. Bugging me since choir to ask you out. So I had Jared ask you out at lunch. Marissa is really mad at you. That note she gave you, she's like griping you out. Don't act any different now than you did before because I asked you out. Gotta go. See ya. And then he draws a little cross down there. It says love going down and God across. And then he says love in Christ, Sean. And then at the bottom he says sorry so sloppy, longer letter later, and sorry so short. So he asked out my sister Julie. She said no, and now he's trying to save face. All right. Note number two. He drew a cross on the outside of this one. He's using God to get her to like him. Girls, warning, guys will do that. Guys in my small group, I'm pretty sure they only raise their hands in worship to impress the girls. Just kidding. I'm messing up. I am totally messing up. They just texted me 165 times, all right? That's fair game. All right, here we go. Julie, listen to this one. Sup. By the way, girls, I was joking about that actual specific thing, but guys will do that. They will act more spiritual than they really are to get you to go out with them. Here we go. Sup. How you doing? I'm in English. K-Life was cool last night. Chris is cool. I didn't really see Dilly that much. What an unfortunate name. I think we are going to bash the piano tonight at Chi Alpha. That's a youth group. Did you see Mike and Eddie last night at K-Life? I don't really have much to write about because I see you all the time. Well, got to go see you. Love in Christ. All right? So now he's just trying to act like everything's normal. Oh, yeah, let's just talk about other stuff. Everything's normal. It's all cool. Note number three. To Julie, using the Roman numeral to instead of T-O. And then he says, heart, colon, Sean. So like love, Sean, that's on the outside. I think she might be giving in. Julie, hey, what are you? Letter R, letter U, up, arrow, to. Learn how to write, Sean. Not much here. I'm really sorry about Bible study. You look really sad. Don't ever tell a girl that, guys. I wish I could help. I will pray for you guys. I hope it will be okay. Are you going to K-Life? I am. God wouldn't have made Billy your leader if he didn't have a purpose. Hopefully, it will turn out good. So what's going D-O-W-N? Down. That's how they roll. What's going down with you? I have a Spanish test next hour, and I'm really sorry about Bible study. Don't forget, God loves you. And I love you. See ya. Then at the bottom, God loves you, and he does these little initial things, and it says S-P-J-P. That's Sean Pierman, Julie Peniel. This is the point when she said yes. That's right. He asked her out again, and she said yes. So now they're going out. Note number four. Let me just note. The first three notes were folded up and they were like interlocking. This one's just folded like a normal piece of paper. Julie, hey, what are you up to? Not much here. I'm just sitting here in English listening to Audrey and Mrs. Ayers fight about the Emmy. I haven't written you a note in such a long time. And I just want to write you a note. Julie, I think we should break up. Because our relationship is not working out. Not! And he says not real big. You can maybe see that on there. I love you. And I don't ever want to break up. Do you think you can come to Chi Alpha tonight? I am. And I think I have to stay after school today to do something for algebra. I got a 22 out of 40 on a quiz, and I need to raise my grade. We're playing in the tournament in OKC this weekend. Are you? Got to go. See ya. Love as always. Don't forget it. I love you. One thing I want to point out in there is I love you, and I don't ever want to break up. Note number five. Julie, hey, what are you up to? Not much here. Guess what? I love you. I would never break up with you to go out with Kristen. Why would you even say that? Okay? And then listen to this. Next line is, I like Kristen, but not more than a friend. Okay? I have K-Life Bible study today after school. I got Josiah to go with me. Hopefully he will go. I have Spanish next. It's so boring. I can talk the whole time. What is the latest you can talk on the phone? The reason I talk to Kristen so much is because she usually calls me about 9:45 or 10. Sorry this note's so short, but I have to go. I love you always. Don't forget it. Love you. Love, Sean. I don't have a note for the rest of the story, but he broke up with her and went out with Kristen. He broke up with her and went out with Kristen. No, I laughed at her. I'm a big brother. That's what big brothers do. All right? No, I was a bad big brother. I did laugh. So here's the thing about that, though. This is Julie's first boyfriend, her first kiss. Her first, I love you. Her first, I'll never break up with you. And I bet for a while there, she enjoyed it. You see, nobody wants to be lonely. And when someone shows you attention and tells you the things that you want to hear and makes you feel the things that you want to feel, it for a moment, it makes that loneliness go away. But guess what? I lived in the same house with her, and I can tell you for a fact, after he dumped her and went out with her friend Kristen, the pastor's daughter, she was lonelier than she was before. Fair warning. If you think a boyfriend or a girlfriend is going to cure your loneliness, you're going to end up lonelier than before. 99 times out of 100. Maybe more like 999 out of 1,000. Almost every time. You're going to end up lonelier than before. So I want to give you 10 tips for dating. Write them down. We're going to go fast. 5 minutes. Get your thumbs ready. You can type fast. These are your top 10 dating tips for Christian teens. Here you go. Number 10, test your motives. Test your motives. What are you motivated by when it comes to dating? Psalm 139:23 says this, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts." Here's some potential motives. Ask yourself this question. What are my motives for wanting to date? Is it peer pressure because everybody else is doing it? Is it rebellion because my parents tell me I can't? Is it low self-esteem and I want to make a boy to make me feel better about myself or a girl to validate my manliness? Is it curiosity? Well, everybody else is doing it. I want to see what it's like. Do I just want to have fun? Do I want to learn more about the opposite sex? Do I want to learn what I like and dislike? Do I have a major crush, or am I looking to start and build a family? Because here's the thing, you all sit there laughing, David, that's stupid. That's the only biblical reason for two people to get together in that way. Mark 10, verses 6 through 9 says, where's Mark 10? "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. They'll get married, they'll start a family. What God has joined together, let no man separate." What's your motive? Test your motives. Number 9, here we go. List what you're looking for. Make a list of what you're looking for. Now, this is for you to just save and edit and keep. It's not to look for right now. But Proverbs chapter 31 in the Hebrew language, it's an acrostic, which means they take their whole alphabet. So like we would take A, B, C, D, and every line starts with a different letter in the whole Hebrew alphabet. And it lists out, all right? It lists out all the qualities of a godly woman that this person's looking for. All right? Follow that example. List what you're looking for. All right? That'd be a fun thing for you to do. What are you really looking for? Number 8. Here we go. Talk about it all the time. We've already covered this. I'm going to go through it quickly. 1 John 1, 6 through 8 says, hey, walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Talk about it all the time. Walk in the light. You know Proverbs 15:22. We say it in here all the time. Your plans will fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they will succeed. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders. Talk about it with your leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Those are your small group leaders. Consider the way outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Talk about it with them. Talk about who you like, who likes who, who's going out with who you want to go out with, why you want to go out, what are your motives. Talk about it all the time. What about your parents? What about your parents? Put up the proverb about parents. You got one more. There you go. Honor your father and mother so you can live a long life. You honor what they say about dating. Let's go to the next one, number 7. Focus more on being the right person than finding the right person. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? We talked about it last week. Leave up the list because they're trying to write it. I'll just do the scripture here. Adam and Eve in the garden. All right, the Lord God made a woman from the rib he'd taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Adam didn't find her. God brought her to him. So focus more on being the right person than finding it, because if you know God and you're seeking him and following him, he's going to bring that person to you, and you don't have to go out and find. All right? You be the right person. Focus more on being the right person. Number six, here we go. Find creative ways to avoid isolation and enjoy life. I am not asking you to just stay at home alone and be bored and depressed all the time, but you got to get creative and get out there and find ways to avoid isolation and enjoy life. Go out in groups of people and have fun. Number five, let's keep going. We got to get through these quickly. Find creative ways. Go back to number six real quick. They're trying to write down. Find creative ways to avoid isolation and enjoy life. Just write down, have fun in groups. All right? Yeah, isolation. Look it up. Okay. Number five. These are all on the internet. I'll show you where to find them. You need to prepare to accept rejection. All right? If you want to start dating like Julie did, you're going to get rejected. All right? Paul says in Philippians, we don't have to go there. Leave this up on the screen. He says that he knows what it is to be content, to live with plenty and to live in want. The secret to being content is he can do all things through Christ. So you anchor your life in your relationship with God. And if you venture out into dating and your parents let you and your friends give you good advice and you think it's an okay thing to do, just get ready to accept rejection. You know what else you need to prepare for? Number four, count the cost of fractured friendships. Because Julie and Kristen McElvain, they didn't become friends again until college. That fractured, they were best. I remember that girl coming over to our house and hanging out with my little sister. But when her boyfriend broke up with her and went out with Kristen, that friendship was broken until college when they finally got back together and mended what had been broken. That's crazy. You start dating, you know this. You've seen it happen. You've seen the gossip and you've seen the friendships fractured. You got to take a side. Count the cost of that before you jump in. Number three, always tell the truth, but be gentle. Require the same. Sean was lying to her. All right? If you go in to date and you're feeling changed and you don't want to date anymore, you tell the truth. An honest answer. Put this one up there. This is good. Proverbs 24:26 is an honest answer. It's like a kiss on the lips. All right? So if a guy asks you out, girl, and you really don't feel good about it, be honest. Say no. Don't just say yes because everybody else is doing it or because you want to say you have a boyfriend. Same thing for you guys. Be honest. An honest answer, but be gentle. It's like a kiss on the lips. Number two, we got to hurry through this. Keep God in front of you and put your past behind you. Some of you guys in here have dated. You've made mistakes. You've broken hearts. Your heart's been broken. You've done stuff that you're not proud of. You're embarrassed by. You wouldn't want to talk about in a small group. On and on it goes. You wouldn't want people to question you about. Keep God in front of you and put your past behind you. Psalm 16:8 says, I set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. In John 8, there's a woman who's caught in sin. She's had bad relationships. People were lined her up to stone her. And Jesus said, let him who has no sin throw the first stone. So they walked away. Jesus says, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she says. And Jesus says, I don't condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. That's what Jesus says. Is he goes, listen, I'll forgive you, but you go and you live differently. So put your past behind you and live differently. Romans 8:1, if you know Jesus, this is true for you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've done stuff that you're ashamed of, you've hurt, you've been confused, you can know if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Put the past behind you. Put God in front of you. Number one, this one's fun. Kissing isn't hard to learn. You don't have to practice, all right? This happened in my small group on Wednesday. Not kissing, but this statement, all right? One of the guys literally actually said this as I was cautioning them about dating. But David, practice makes perfect. And here's what I said to him. So you're telling me that when you get married someday, you want to marry a girl that has kissed the maximum number of guys possible. Because you want your wife to be a good kisser. You want her to have as much practice as she can possibly get. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? No. I mean, if I went to start dating my wife Allie and eventually it comes up in conversation, you ever kissed anybody before? And she's like, yes, I've kissed 973 people. I would be like, wipe off your mouth. That would not be appealing to me at all. Practice. You don't need to practice this, guys. I've kissed before. It's not hard. I can tell you from experience. It's pretty easy. It's just kind of a natural thing. You don't have to practice. And the same is true, I said kissing. Same is true for dating and relationships. It's not like you have to figure this out, man. That's how God has wired us for one another. So when you're ready to make a commitment and your parents approve, both parents approve of the relationship, and you have wise friends that are approving and supporting you, and you've got God at the center of your life and at the center of that relationship, then you're not going to have to worry about whether or not you've had practice or experience. Right? Adam and Eve didn't have any practice, and the human race is still continuing on today. We're still here. They figured it out. Right? It's not hard to learn, so you don't need to practice. There's 10 tips. Now, you go to morewake.com. You click curriculum. There'll be a PDF on there that has these. So if you didn't get them all typed down because we went so fast, it's there. Back to the note. Back to the note. My sister, her heart was broken. She was lonelier than she ever was before. She's getting married on May 26th. And it's not to Sean Pierman. All right? But she waited, and God brought her little Adam to the Watermark coffee shop, and she happened to work at Watermark, and they became friends, and they hung out in a group. After 3 years of friendship, guess what? They both looked up and said, oh, let's get married, whee! And I, who laughed at her when Sean Pierman broke her heart, I get to stand up there in front of everybody, and I get to do their wedding ceremony and marry them. Yeah! Isn't that great? Isn't that fun? And you know what? I can do it and be really, really happy about it because of who they are and how they're getting married. Last thing, I'm going to close on this. I would love to do your wedding ceremony. Someday, not today. Hey. But I only do wedding ceremonies for people who I think their marriage is going to last. And I think they're really committed to it. And I think God is ahead of it. Those are the only ones I'll do. I will say no if it's not that way. And so if you want to have the kind of wedding that my sister's going to have, you listen to what we're teaching you from God's Word. You listen to what your small group leaders are telling you. You listen to what your parents are saying. You ask for advice. You slow down. You trust God. You don't conform to the pattern of the world, but you be transformed by what God says. Let's pray.